Good morning, everybody. Can you all hear me well? All right. So yeah, the title of this, I'd like it to be, is To Stand Fast and to Be Strong. Jumping right back into 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 13 and 14. I'll just go ahead and read that again. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 13 and 14. Watch, stand fast in the faith. Be brave, be strong. Let all that you do be done with love. So today I want to ask you all a question. Why are so many Christians silent? We live in a world where people boldly proclaim everything. People will boldly proclaim their opinions, whether it's on politics, whether it's music, whether it's their favorite celebrities, sports. Yet when it comes to Jesus, many Christians become quiet. But Jesus never called his followers, never called us his sons and daughters. He never called us to silence. Jesus himself said in Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 and 16. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 and 16. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Jesus never said to hide our lights. Jesus never said to be comfortable, stay somewhere and be comfortable where you're at. No, he said to let your light shine. Our faith was never meant to stay inside of these four walls. It was meant to be seen. It was meant to shine. Now today, I want to encourage every believer, be brave, speak. Not because you're fearless or that you're perfect, but because God is worthy to be proclaimed and he is worthy to be served. Going back to God never called us to hide our faith. Going back into Matthew chapter 5, what good is a light that is hidden? Light only fulfills its purpose when people can see it. Going back a few verses in Matthew chapter 5, to verses 13. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. Light only fulfills its purpose when people can see it, whether that's God, whether it's your family. Likewise, Christians fulfill their purpose when people can see Christ through them. Jesus also said in Mark chapter 8, verses 38, "For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." Jesus isn't asking us to be completely perfect. He's not asking us to be without sin. Sure, it's in our nature to sin. But he's asking us to remain faithful. He's asking us to love him as he has loved us. He's asking us to love others as he has loved others. Now, this can be sometimes the most difficult thing. Nobody said it was easy. Going to Paul in Romans chapter 1, verses 16. Romans chapter 1, verses 16. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is by the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek." Paul wasn't ashamed because he knew what the gospel could do. He knew the power of Christ. He would come to run into him on the road to Damascus. He knew the power of the gospel. It saves lives. It changes hearts. It forgives sins. Now, if we truly believe that, how can we stay silent about something that has changed our eternity? This doesn't mean everybody has to go be a preacher, but this does mean that you should share the gospel, that you should share your story in a loving way. For example, I love this example. Imagine there's people trapped inside of a burning house, people or a person, whatever it is, and you know the way out. Would you stay quiet just because these people may reject your help, whether they will or they won't? Maybe it's a group of people and only one person will accept the help and come out the house. No, you shouldn't. Love speaks, love warns, and love reaches. And this burning house, being apart from God, being in sin, and there's plenty of that. And there's many people who need to hear the word. And this is exactly what Ezekiel 33 teaches when God appoints a watchman to warn the people. The watchman isn't responsible for whether the people listen, but he is responsible for sounding the warning. In the same way, we're not exactly responsible for somebody's response to the gospel, response if we share Jesus to them. Because there will be people who hate the message. There will be people who refuse to listen. Maybe in certain circumstances, it will be extreme. But we are still responsible for sharing the message that we believe changed our eternity. And not just our eternity, but for many of us, changed our lives for the better. Now, to do this and to share Jesus and to share the gospel, it gets to boldness. And boldness doesn't mean you won't be afraid. Sometimes we think courageous people never feel fear. Maybe the people who lead into battles, that they're not afraid. But that's simply not true. And I wouldn't say it's simple. It's very complex, but it's not true. Courage is obeying God even when fear is present. It's deciding to go forward even when everything in your body is telling you to turn back. I mean, think about Peter. The night Jesus was arrested, Peter denied him 3 times. Fear had a grip within him. But after the Holy Spirit dwelt within him in Acts 2, the same Peter stood before thousands proclaiming Christ. And what changed? Well, God empowered him. And for me, for example, this morning, like, the flesh within me didn't want to be here because I was nervous. I was afraid, honestly. But I prayed to God for courage. I tried to lean on God, and I'm here preaching his word now. But yeah, God empowered Peter. Paul reminds us in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 7. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 7, it says this: "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Of a sound mind. Fear isn't God's gift. Power is. Love is. Boldness is. Now going to what God told Joshua in Joshua chapter 1, verses 9. He says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or dismayed. For Yahweh your God is with you wherever you go." God didn't promise Joshua an easy road, a road without rocks, persecution, resistance. No, he promised his presence. And that exact promise can still encourage us believers this day. And even if you aren't a believer, knowing that the God of the universe is with you, wants to be with you, should encourage you and should give you hope. Now jumping to the apostles. When the apostles were arrested, they were threatened and they were commanded to stop preaching. Because, I mean, the gospel spreads, it reaches hearts, and they were commanded to stop. Threatened by death, stoning, whatever it may be. Yet Peter and the apostles answered in Acts chapter 5, verses 29. "We ought to obey God, then men." that attitude, every believer should have that. Every believer should strive for. And I would say not every believer would just have it. It's not a skill you have. It's something you learn. It's something that grows within you. Our culture, going into our culture, it changes all the time. People, during certain times, people respond better to the gospel. Our culture may change, but in Malachi chapter 3, verses 6, it tells us, it says, "For I am the Lord, I change not." Society's opinions change. God's truth does not change. Jesus himself said in Matthew chapter 24, verses 35. Matthew chapter 24, verses 35. "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away." People may reject us, but Jesus warned us this exact thing would happen. That if you go door to door, somebody would reject you, whether it's extreme or not. People every day will. And in John chapter 15, verses 18, Jesus says, "If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you." If we are rejected because we faithfully follow Christ, because we obey his word, because we warn people within the example I give, if we warn people within this burning house of sin, this burning house that's separate from God, if people reject us because of that, we are walking the same road Jesus walked. And that's an honor, honestly. Because these people in these burning houses, someone's eternity may depend on your boldness. On your boldness, whether to proclaim the word or not, to just tell them about Jesus or not. And by no means is this easy. Paul asks an amazing question in Romans chapter 10, verses 14. He says this, Romans chapter 10, verses 14. "How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? How will they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher?" Every Christian is called to proclaim Christ in some way. That doesn't mean, like I said, you'll be in a pulpit preaching to a bunch of people, but that does mean that your light should shine before people, shine before men, women, and children, reflecting Christ in everyday moments, even in the simplest, smallest moments. Jesus' final command was in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 through 20. Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 through 20. "Go therefore and teach all nations." Go therefore and teach all nations. And in Acts chapter 1, verses 8. Acts chapter 1, verses 8, it says this, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and even to the end of the earth." Now, he didn't say you might be my witness, you may be my witness. He said you will be, you shall be my witness. God has placed people in your everyday lives. Maybe it's your workplace, maybe it's school, family, whatever it may be, people you walk by on the street every day, that perhaps these people, no one else can reach these people but you. Paul also reminds us in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 6. "I planted, Apollos watered, but God was causing the growth." It's not our responsibility to save people. Only God saves. It's God's power to save. But it's our responsibility to plant the seed, like Apollos, to water the seed. to share the good news of the gospel for people who need to hear it. Now, spiritual boldness to proclaim God's word, it begins with prayer. Going into Acts chapter 4, verses 29, the disciples had just been threatened again, and they didn't pray, "Lord, remove this persecution," but they prayed, "Lord, give us boldness. Give us the boldness to proclaim your word." Then in Acts chapter 4, verses 31, it says that they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Prayer changed their courage. The Spirit of God changed their courage. And in James chapter 5, verse 16, James chapter 5, verses 16, the prayer of a righteous person is working. Now, if you struggle with fear, maybe to share God's word, maybe to tell the person next door that Jesus loves them, share the gospel to them. Don't only ask God to remove potential or just difficult situations in general, but ask him to fill you with courage in these and those situations, that you may be able to proclaim his word with boldness, like the disciples did. Now this week, I'd like to challenge everyone to be like the disciples. First, to just pray every morning. You know, I hear people say this all the time, and it sounds so simple. Pray every morning. But how often do we actually do this? I mean, in this world, there's so many distractions. You may get up and have to take out your dog. You may get up and have to do this, this, and that. And I completely understand. But to give God those first seconds within your day can be some of the most powerful things you can do to set your day straight. Second, don't hide your faith. Jesus said in Luke chapter 9, verses 26, Luke chapter 9, verses 26, "For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when the angels come in his glory. When he comes in his glory, and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels." And third, to tell your story. The man Jesus healed in Mark chapter 5, verses 19, was told. He was told this, "And he did not let him, but he said to him, 'Go home to your people and report to them what great things the Lord has done for you, and how he had mercy on you.'" Your story, or other people may want to say your testimony, but just whatever, your story, your life, and how Christ changed you, it could touch hearts. It could affect people in ways that a sermon never could. Your story could open hearts. Or just simply showing love to people you may not like, love to people who may have wronged you, showing Christ-like love to people. It's powerful, and it's something we should practice every day. Now for the conclusion, imagine standing before Jesus one day. The validation, the praise of this world, the praise and validation from other people, none of that will matter. Only God's approval. Paul wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 through 8, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." May that be true for all of us one day, when we are to pass, that we may fight the good fight, finish the course, and keep the faith. May we never be ashamed of Christ. May we stand when others compromise and speak when others remain silent. If you need any assistance this evening, any prayer, any encouragement, any questions, please feel free to come forward anytime. as we sing.